This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
You are listening to The Arenality on ORFM. Kia ora, everyone. Welcome to The Arenality. I'm Arena, and today with me is Aini Cha, a mindfulness and compassion coach and teacher, here with me today to share her story. Kia ora, Aini.
Hi. Hi, Arena. It's really nice to be here live with you.
Yes, I'm really happy to see you today. We have been in contact, and I think we're friends, you know, from last year. And I think I'm just really happy to have you on the show today to talk about your story and what you do.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yay. Would you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Where should I start? Of course, my name is Aini Cha, and I am a mindfulness and compassion teacher and transformational coach. So what I do is I guide people on their healing journey. To more acceptance, forgiveness, self-compassion, and introduce joy and gratitude and happiness. Yeah, I think this is what we want, right?
Yep. That is such, like, beautiful things you say. And, like, it really sounds like a really good job as well. Like, do you love what you do?
It is, actually. It's very fulfilling when you see your clients and your students transform in a way that they is transforming, unfolding things for them.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. And we'll talk more about mindfulness and your job in the second part of this interview.
Sure.
So before we do that, let's talk about your cultural identity. So the RNLT is a show about culture and belonging as well. So can you share with us about your background?
I'm a Chinese Malaysian. So I came to New Zealand about 6 years ago. Yeah. So, as you know, being Asian in a foreign country, of course, there are some challenges here and there. But I guess I have to thank the mindfulness practice, you know, in a way that it brings a lot more acceptance and curiosity to learn to adapt to the changes. Yep.
Can you tell us why you moved to New Zealand 6 years ago?
Long story. Long story.
We're here for long stories.
Okay. Well, we have been planning. As you know, I have two kids. We have been planning for the kids to study abroad to get more exposure and explore. But I was bogged down with my work being an engineering consultant then. Yeah. And what really triggers that point of me making a decision was I was in a project that I was supposed to be away for a couple of months, and which was very hard for me at that time with young children. And at the same time, my grandmother took her life. And at the same time, within that short 3 months, my mother-in-law was diagnosed with cancer and she passed too. So yeah, that was something that actually triggered me to take a step back, to look at life, you know, what is it that I really want? Is it my work, my career, my children, my family, or is it me? So I took a step back to really look into my life, what I really want, and that starts my own healing journey.
I'm so sorry for your loss and, you know, everything that happened in that 3 months. That's just crazy to hear, you know, that sometimes life does that.
Yeah. But it was, to me, at the point when I look back, it was good in a way because that starts my own healing journey, and here I am as a mindfulness teacher.
Yeah, how crazy that, you know, if things don't happen, you're still an engineer consultant.
Yeah.
Which probably didn't spark as much joy as it does working now with being a mindfulness coach.
Yeah, you're totally right. Yes, it's so much freedom and it's so much more fulfilling, I would think, you know. It's between that is your job, but this is your work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so crazy. And I think this story is also very inspiring for people out there who might not really like their jobs but are staying because they feel like they have to, or mm-hmm. they feel like they don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. What was like the strength that you hold on to when you made those big decisions in your life, especially when you moved to New Zealand?
I think it was more of the values that I hold, mm-hmm. In terms of being able to be there for my children, because family comes first, right? Mm-hmm. For me, it's always we before I. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was something that really, in a way, sparked me to look into what I really want. Because we are brought up in a society which a lot of cultural and social conditionings where, oh, you have to work hard, study hard, get up there, you know, get a good job, get paid and get married, you know. Mm. It's like a story.
Yeah.
But whether it is really coming true for you, it's another story.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. With the conditioning, like I have to be good, I have to do all those kind of things. Yeah, I get a good job, I climb the ladder, right? I was in a big consultancy firm, being high up in a middle management position, which is good, you know. But at the end of the day, I wasn't really, really happy. Like you say, you know, the fulfillment is not there.
Yeah.
Like I have to go to work and neglect my child. That was something that I felt really guilty about, which is one area that really took me a step to look back, you know, in life as a mother. What do I really want?
Mm.
Yeah.
And talking about being a mother, how is that going for you now? Because you have two kids, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. What ages are they?
They're not really kids anymore.
Okay. Teenagers.
Teenagers, ooh. Yeah. My daughter is in her first year of university this year.
They are not kids.
Yeah. So she's my oldest. And my younger son, he's in year 8 now, so he's 13.
How was that growing up, like seeing them grow up in a different country than you were brought up in?
I think the difference is exposure. They're more outspoken, more expressive in some ways. Mm. The difference in Malaysia culture is we are being taught in a way only the teacher says and you're supposed to be quiet, right? You listen and you learn, right? But here they encourage expressive work, which I find it very interesting. It allows the child to really express. And that coincides with the mindfulness practice as well.
Yeah. I'm sure you realize that there are some similarities between what they learn and what you teach.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. So do you have any tips for working moms who have children or, you know, because you went through that now that your children... Well, they're not really children. They're big now. So you don't need to really see them as much as you used to.
Not exactly, Rina, really. I think being a mom, it's more like being their friend.
Mm.
Yeah, that's how I brought them up in a way that I allow them to express themselves, express whatever their thoughts, their feelings, because I think that's important. Because I was suppressed when I was young to be able to express how I feel, right?
Mm.
Yeah, I'm a very emotional person. So I guess in one way I've learned that to let the kids express and be there for them. So what I learned in practicing mindfulness is really allowing them to be who they are instead of putting a notion of what I expect them to be and love them the way they are.
That is so beautiful. And, you know, because I am an Asian as well and Malaysian as well. So I know how there are some parents back home who don't do that to their children, who want their children to be a certain way, you know, to follow the steps that they didn't take when they were young, for example. Can you share with us some tips on how people can accept their children the way they are and let go of that?
I think it's really simple. They're your children, right? You mm-hmm. love them, right? You gave birth to them. So it's really about love. So we're not here to teach them, but we're here to love them, and love will teach them.
Mm.
And that's what I feel. And I once learned from a teacher. He says, when mindfulness touches the person you love, they will grow, they will blossom. Yeah.
That is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Aini, for sharing about, you know, being a mother. And I'm sure that we will talk more about this later. I really want us to talk more about cultural identity.
Mm-hmm.
So being a Malaysian Chinese, when you arrived in New Zealand, how was that just settling into New Zealand? Were there any cultural differences that you felt was, you know, prominent?
I'm sure they are. Oh, they were for me. But because I have been abroad, I studied in the States, and in my work as an engineering consultancy, I travel quite a bit to Germany, Spain, US, not so much, but other Asian countries, Taiwan and Hong Kong. So I'm pretty much exposed to different cultures, working with different people, if their ethnicity and things like that. So fitting in and putting myself here in New Zealand is not much of a challenge for me. And I believe for my kids too, they are both English spoken at home. So when they come here, it was quite easy for them. I don't see any particular struggle in that way. Yeah,
that's good that you have been exposed to different cultures, you know, way before you came to New Zealand.
Yeah.
So you knew how to communicate and how to act with people and be around people who are different than you, which is a privilege not a lot of people have.
I know, but I'm sure I've heard a lot being in this mindfulness community, there is a lot of cultural differences, and not too sure if I should talk about being rationalized or oppression that is going on. There is very subtly here. So yeah, if there's anyone out there who would like to talk about it, I'm always here.
Yes, and we will talk more about Aini's work on mindfulness later during the second part of this show. Let's talk about other volunteer things that you do, because I know that you used to help out with the Dunedin Multi-Ethnic Council when you arrived.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, so I volunteered in the Dunedin Multi-Ethnic Council as the coordinator, the choral play group, so playing with kids, with mother, and sharing my experiences and cooking, and you know,
yeah,
play.
You were perfect for that.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, and then I also volunteer a few times with Life Matters suicide prevention. Yeah, as you know, I told you that my grandmother took her own life. Right, that was one of the trigger. So yes, I volunteer and volunteer to help the peer support group as well, because we all need support. Yeah. And where else do I volunteer? I'm also currently volunteering with Age Concern. So every week I take Catherine out for walks, and she likes gardening, and we go Nichols and that was many years already.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, Aini. It seems like you're a very important person in the community, doing things because you just love supporting people and helping people. And I think we're just really lucky to have you here supporting us.
Oh, thank you. You're gonna make me cry.
Let's talk about Life Matters. I think it's a very strong thing that for you, you know, you have this history, you know, it's very personal to you why you joined that. How was the experience so far working, volunteering for Life Matters?
When I do the volunteering, it's more of guiding the peer support group in a meditation and supporting them, because I feel that me alone going out there to support, there's limitation. So if I can support the peer groups for them to support the rest of the people, that's amazing, right? So mindfulness spreads that way, exposure there. Yeah.
So the knowledge spreads to everyone.
Yeah.
And how often do you volunteer?
So far in the last few years, when they have the, you know, the yearly suicide prevention day, past 2 years, not so much this last year because of the lockdown and things like that. Yeah.
Has any way of working with people changed since COVID and stuff?
I think we're more online, more than being personally. So I'm very happy to actually get to meet you here live personally. You know? Yay!
I haven't had these in-person interviews for a while, so I'm actually really happy that you're here. Like, we got to hug before we do the interview, so it feels a lot more human than, like, looking at a computer screen.
Yeah, which is true. And I realized that over the two over years of lockdown, people develop loneliness. And it's really the meaning of life. Us as a human, we strive for connection. You know, relationships, it's important in a way, because that brings the positive reinforcement of staying alive. Yeah.
Just having that human connection. It's part of our well-being needs, right?
Yes.
I love when you mention about loneliness. I really experienced that last year, which is why this year when borders for New Zealand opened, my partner came in, we got married straight away. And having just a piece of home here feels really nice. I don't feel like that urge of suddenly going back to Malaysia, like, okay, like, you know, that's not strong anymore because I have a piece of home here with me.
And you're right, actually. I realize in lots of my clients as well, and people that I know, friends, right? Because you're so used to being out there, and now you're trapped at home, or, you know, and there are some people who get accustomed to it, and now they're going back to work, and I don't want to go out to work. You know, so it does take some time, but it does in a way triggers that loneliness in some way or another in some people.
Yeah. Like, I remember I used to say, oh, I'm an introvert, I want to stay at home. But now, like, if the sun is out, Dunedin is a hot day, I just want to go out. I don't want to be inside. I want to see other people experiencing their lives, even though I don't know them. It just feels like, you know, just like human connection, even though
we all strive for connection. You're right.
Yeah. What are other things you are passionate about besides, you know, talking about mindfulness? Because that's like part of you. So it's you'll always be mentioning mindfulness, and that's always in the back of your head when you're doing things. Do you have any hobbies or passions that you do?
I like cooking, actually. I enjoy cooking with my kids. We always spend a lot of time in the kitchen. And even until now, my son is 13, Aiden. Sometimes we will just lie on the bed and scroll through and watch Tasty Junior. Yeah, I think that is something that I really enjoy doing with my kids. Yeah, I enjoy cooking. I also liked doing my own products. Like, I've started doing some aromatherapy work. So I mix my own essential oil blends, and I mix my own scrub and toner for the kids and things like that. Yeah, something that I enjoy doing.
That is so beautiful. And do you do that with a class, or do you learn that yourself?
I learned that with a class some time ago, many years ago, before I came to New Zealand. So I make my own. Yeah.
That's amazing. What is your favorite scent so far? And like, has there been like a mixture of scents that has been helping you at the moment?
I really like rose and lavender.
Lavender helps me sleep. Like, I would use that in my diffuser every night just to calm myself.
And it is a calming effect.
What does rose do?
More of being, how would I say? It's also calming in a way. And I actually like that scent, the smell of a rose.
Yeah, it has a very unique scent, right?
Yeah.
I think the rose smell, because I remember I used to have roses, a rose garden back in Malaysia at home. I think if I smell a rose now, I think it's going to bring me back to my memories of gardening at home. I think sometimes scents, they bring people to like the memories that they remember as well.
So rose does have properties of rejuvenating and all that, but for me, I really like the scent of a rose. It makes you feel alive.
Yeah,
for me, yeah.
It's beautiful. I have two scents at home. Like, I use lavender and I use peppermint in the morning to wake me up because it has a very strong smell. Like, I think in the morning, because in Dunedin it gets so cold, it helps with clearing blocked noses. So really recommend peppermint for the mornings and lavender for the nights, because especially for Dunedin weather.
Yeah, peppermint is quite awakened.
Like, okay, yeah. It makes me feel like, okay, I can start my day. You know, that's like I pinpoint the smell.
So the other thing that you can actually try is rosemary. Yeah, so rosemary helps you to focus your attention. So sometimes when the kids are studying, I'll put rosemary on.
Do they know that you do that intentionally?
They don't know.
They don't.
Yeah.
That is so beautiful. Like seeing you like as a mother, like you see, okay, this is what my kid's doing, so this is how I'm gonna help them. In the background, you know, they don't need to know I'm helping them, but like you actually are.
Yeah, that's something that I feel I've also learned from that. You know, it's not like you ask them to do. They're all in different groups of age group, and they learn. They have their own way of learning and accepting things, and allowing them to explore without telling them what to do, because what you believe doesn't mean that they have to believe the same thing. But what is important, as for me, when I look at myself as a mom, is to be able to be there, be present with them. That's most important, to give them that attention that they need, but they don't have to know.
And maybe because they're young, they didn't realize. And when they're old, they probably remember, like, oh, that's why my mom did that. Because that happens to me too. Like, oh, I didn't know the subtle things my mom does when I was young. But now, like, when I reflect on it, oh, that's why, you know.
Yeah. So for the moms out there, when you asked me the tips just now, it's really just love them. You know, be present with them, give them the attention, do the things for them, because they will know, although they don't often say it out.
Thank you so much, Aini. I think that's the best advice for the show. One last thing that we can talk about before we move into part two is, how do you take care of your well-being? But I know you're going to mention mindfulness. Try not to. I'm sure there are other things that you do that, you know, it has something to do with mindfulness, but not like directly on mindfulness.
Yeah. So for me, when I wake up in the morning, I usually don't jump out of bed. So I stay lying down and set an intention on what I want the day to be. and also do a quick body scan, or just I'm a Reiki practitioner myself too, so I'll probably go through, you know, the chakras and things like that before I get up, do my routine thing. I'm a Buddhist, so prayers is a everyday routine when I'm done with the kids, send them to school, and when I get back home, I work from home. So when I get back home, that's my time to freshen up and do my routine prayers before I start work.
So there's a lot of slowing down and being mindful. I was going to say, I try not to say it, but you know, it is a practice in your life that you do, and you're very intentional about things before you do them.
I would say it's the practice. People use mindfulness as a tool at the beginning. I went through that process too. But as you continue to practice, it becomes a skill that it's you. And automatically it becomes you. Right? Because you're building that habit. It becomes your attitude, your habits, and your own behavior. Right, so mindfulness is an embodied practice. So when you start practicing, it's going to be with you. It's not going to leave you. It's like when you learn how to cycle, right? You can cycle and you pick it up. You pick it up again. It's just in you. Yeah.
It's already muscle memory that you remember.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, Aini. That is such a good teaser for part two. I'll be bringing in Aini again on the show for next week's episode. We'll be talking about Mindfulness Month. So I'm really excited to have you back on the show again.
Thank you. Thank you, Rina. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yay. That is the end of today's episode. Thanks for tuning in to ORFM Dunedin, Radio Kanepas in Hawke's Bay, Wellington Access Radio, Plains FM in Christchurch, Free FM in Hamilton, and Coast Access Radio in Horowhenua and Kapiti. Thanks to our international listeners who are tuning to the podcast as well. You can find more of the RNLT's podcasts on oar.org.nz, Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If anyone would like to be in touch, feel free to email aizalarina@gmail.com. You can also follow me on my Instagram @arinaaizal. Otherwise, I'll see you in the next episode. Bye! You've been listening to The Arenality on RFM.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.